This brew has been brought by Think Ad Group. You can get your information at thinkadgroup.com. Get you some.
We are going to question number three, and this is going to be because there's a lot of things that you can shave down, right? There's a lot of hard lessons you get while going into a trajectory of success. There's a lot of hard lessons. But inside of your business career, your career of making businesses, right? Making things successful, making people successful. What has been the hardest lesson you had to learn inside of that time growing up, as much as you've grown up inside of the business world as an entrepreneur?
Wow, that's an interesting one. You know, I think the hardest lesson you have to learn, you know, is that debt is your friend and not your enemy in business. Although you must use it wisely. You can't just go crazy and, you know, and be buying up things with crazy debt, and, you know, you get yourself into trouble and you'll be underwater and you're, you know, insolvent and you'll be in bankruptcy. But debt is your friend. And, you know, you can't be afraid of taking on debt, because, you know, when I talked about this on my radio show night after night, and that is that when someone wants to lend me money at 2% and I can make 12%, That's not a risk. That's an opportunity.
Yes.
If you look at it as a risk, you're never gonna get off the chair. You're never gonna do anything. You got to be willing to take the risk. And you know that's a tough thing to get past. I think, you know, when you're younger, you don't understand it, and then you're kind of looking at, well, if I take this debt on, what if it doesn't work out and I'm gonna go broke and I'm gonna be in trouble and I'm gonna lose everything. And when you start realizing that that's how the American economy is set up, you know, Alexander Hamilton was a brilliant man. You know, he set up this economic system, and that's how it works. It works off of debt.
Wow, that's strong. I look at the philosophy of debt similar to that, because I consider debt to be the bet, right? The debt is the bet on yourself to be successful. Boom. I took on this debt of the mortgage, right? Because I plan on paying this off. I took on the debt of the business venture because I plan on being successful with it.
Correct.
Debt is your bet. That's strong stuff.
And my advice would be to the hard lesson of learning that, because it's tough. Listen, it's very tough to get past that. 99.9% of the people don't understand it. They if you sat down with them over a cup of coffee, no pun intended, and you had the conversation, they looked at you like you were out of your mind. You're going to borrow all this money and, you know, to buy that business. What if it doesn't work out? You know, but once you get past that, the advice I would be is, before you sign on the dotted line and before you take on that debt and before you make that bet, because, you know, listen, there's a bet involved in any business, is to make sure that you have a plan.
Yes.
And it's you got to have a backdoor plan. How do I get out of this if it doesn't work out? And that needs to be thought about before you go into it, not halfway through it, not when the wheels are falling off the bus. That needs to be thought before you sign on the dotted line.
That is good stuff.
That's exactly right. You know, there's something about that. You know, it's calculated risks, you know, because, you know, if you're set up, and the one thing about anything when you want to be successful is you have to have a plan, and your plan has to be set up, and you have to have, you know, is it going to adjust as you go? It could. Yeah. And it's sometimes it's to the good. You have to make adjustments. You find out, oh, I can do something more here, or I need to do less over here. But the plan and the goal is always the same. So you just, but as the path may have little veers and all that stuff, but that's okay. You know, it's one thing for sure about anything that you're doing. When failure happens, that's not a bad thing. It's just something you get to learn from.
I've learned so much from failures. Oh. Failures have made me who I am.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's exactly right.
Write that down, folks.
People remember that. Don't be scared of failure.
Don't
be uncomfortable.
Be afraid of it.
Listen to that.
If you're not failing, you're not taking the risks. You're not giving it a try.
Absolutely.
You're not learning. Learning, because then you learn what not to do next time, and
exactly,
what you did wrong, and how to fix it. And going forward, it makes you a stronger and a better person.
That's exactly right.
Guys, this is such an incredible car guy here, folks. A solutionary that is here with us, that is making sure that we are brewing solutions. So if you don't know, I'm going to take this moment real quick while we're in the middle of this, folks. go share this. If you are watching this right now, go share this. Click the little share.
It's great information.
Make sure that everybody knows who it is that's on this show with us. Tag your friends, tag your enemies, tag everybody. I don't care. Let them know that there is some serious wisdom being dropped out. We got a lot more to go, and we're going to go ahead and jump to number four, but go ahead and share this around, folks.
Share it around. I mean, because people, don't be scared of failure. Don't be scared of risk. That's what makes you successful. The more you have of those things, the more successful you become.
Yes.
So remember that. And it's such a fact. And he can attest to that right now. I mean, people, listen, he has so many things going on. So the next question, it's our fourth question for you. You know, I know before you got in the business, you had a bunch of different business ventures. You know, you still do a lot of things such as real estate and other things that like that. You like to dabble. And I love that. And you're constantly growing, you know, that is the key to all entrepreneurship. It's the key to life. You know, the moment you stop growing, you die. It's just
like that thing.
Yeah. Absolutely. So, you know, what drove you from saying, hey, you know, I was doing other businesses to saying, I want to go into the car business.
It's an interesting thing because it wasn't a calculated decision. I was always a car guy. I started buying my first car when I was 16 years old. I was buying classic cars, old classic cars, restoring them and flipping them and making money. I did that throughout high school. I did it when I got out of high school. I've been doing it all my life. I collect classic cars. I've amassed an amazing classic car collection, which we can talk about another day. But I just loved cars. And, you know, I started in the courier business, got into the global logistics business in the middle of the internet boom when things were rolling out. You know, we still had dial up in America Online, and you had to dial into a modem. And I grew a global logistics company, and I had 750 warehouses around the world to support medical and technology companies. And I sold that business actually three times. took it back. That's a story for another day, over a cup of coffee, you know, when we have more time. But I sold it for the last time. I closed 30 days before the Lehman crash. I'm sitting in my office, and, you know, I was going to do real estate development, which I've done my whole life. My father did it. My grandfather did it. And I'm going to invest in real estate. And I had all this money, and I started finding real estate deals. And I went to banks, and banks looked at me like, you want to buy what? Real estate? Like, we're not financing any real estate in the middle of a crash, financial crisis. So I said, okay, that's fine. So I'm sitting in my office one day, and, you know, talk about opportunity in a downturn. Right. We have a Lehman crash going on. We have a financial crisis. We have Chrysler on its back. We have General Motors on its back. Obama was the president. No one knew if they were going to bail them out. No one knew if they were going to survive. Someone walked in my office and said, you know, a lot of people, right? And I said, of course. And they said, do you know anybody that wants to buy a car dealership group? And I said, possibly. What is it? And they said it was Chrysler. And I said, no, because Chrysler was on its back. Then they said it was Ford. Ford was on its back. They said it was, and I said, then they said, Alexis. And I said, yeah, me. And they said, what do you know about the car business? And I said, nothing.
That's so awesome.
So they said, you have to buy it all. It's all cross collateralized. You have to buy it all. I said, set me up a meeting. I walked into the meeting and I said, I'll take everything.
Wow.
And that's how I got in the car business.
That was a risk. But you know what? Like you said, you didn't know anything about the car business, but you knew about business.
Right.
You knew about the growing.
Business. I knew enough that I knew business. And what I did is from day one, I hired a consultant who knew the car business, who knew how to operate it, along with a general manager, who came in and consulted me for the first 6 months, sat by my side, spent the days with me, showing me how to read a financial statement. For a car business, it's much
more
than a general financial statement. Understanding the business, understanding used cars, parts, back end, fixed ops, understanding the whole business. I rolled my sleeves up and I learned it because I wanted to learn it. I had the desire to learn it.
Wow.
That's awesome. That's you know, not to cut back to when you're talking about your classic car collection, but I have seen pictures.
Yes.
Impressive, my friend.
Wow. We were going to make one of the questions be, which of those is your favorite? But that is a different conversation.
We will have another conversation. We'll have you back on the show. Maybe one day when we're up in Jersey area, we'll get to come check out those cars.
Yes. You want to do a walk around for them. I'm excited about it.
I could talk about that for days.
I'm excited to hear about it. All you car guys and car gals know that when you are around a bunch of great cars that you kind of get lost. You're mesmerized.
There's nothing better.
You know, we can get jaded inside of our regular everyday cars, but Tom's not talking about regular everyday cars. These are the cars you pay a lot of money to go these to a show to see, or you see in a museum.
They're classics. Like you watch any old gangster movie, you see these cars riding. He has those. You watch any movie that has just period. You name a classic car that you love that can date back 100 years. Tell me, find one. He has it.
You know,
that's how pretty it is.
People say to me, you have so much money invested in cars, and you know, I've never lost any money on them. I always make money on them. The values go up. But I said, you know, people spend millions of dollars to put a painting on a wall for what purpose? To look at it. It's art. These cars are art.
Yes.
It's art and some. It's so much stuff. It's nostalgia. It's memories. It's people's, you know, childhoods. It's their they think of their grandparents. There's so much to that, you know, and cars are really, really amazing. They can get emotional. I know that with customers, we see how emotional they can get when they're in the middle of a deal. That's how emotional even just a regular car is. Imagine having a classic car. So much. I
mean, the art, the technology, and just the overall awesomeness that is inside of a car. I mean, there's so many moving pieces, right? A car definitely hits people in different spots emotionally. I mean, it's our horse, you know what I mean? But it's a super machine that, I can't fathom not going out to the road and seeing these vehicles moving at crazy rates and us being plugged into this box moving all up and down the road. I mean, and then the different types of them. I mean, oh my goodness, we can talk about cars all day long, folks.
You know, listen. Not only is it art, like you said, it gives you this sense of power when you're in behind the wheel of an automobile, and it gives you one thing that, you know, it's interesting that people go to war for and die for, and that's freedom. It gives you freedom. Yes. Get a car, go wherever you want to go.
It's a great way of putting it.
16-year-olds, they want that. That's their sense of freedom that they're waiting for, right? Oh, yeah. That's their most exciting moment is to have that power behind that wheel. I mean, we have sons that are just now getting
there. It's like when you first get successful and you go out and you buy your first really nice car, or you know, you go you could. That's how it is. It's that something about it's a statement. You know, it's like, hey, I made it. You know, and that is some people just like to keep up with the Joneses too. You know, I want to make sure my car is just as nice as my neighbor's. So
that's how I got in the car business.
That's awesome.
Man, that's a great story. It's a great thing. And the car business is very lucky to have you in it. That's for sure. You know, I know that you've been featured on a lot of different shows out there. You've been on CNN, you've been on Fox News, you've been on a lot of stuff, and you've been able to talk about this business. I've seen you on CBT News not too long ago this past month. You talked with, Fitzgerald. Awesome. Great interview.
That was a great interview.
It was. And it was definitely needed during that time because of what's going on. You know, just to speak of that, just really quick, since then, I know that you guys have opened doors, right? You guys are starting to allow by appointment only.
It's by appointment only, but as of the 15th of this month, we're wide open. Amazing. Doors are open, and you know, listen, interestingly enough, by appointment only, we're at about 75% of historical volumes, service and sales parts. So it's coming back strong.
It is. And we agree. We're here just in Kentucky, and it's definitely, I'm basically at the same numbers. We have opened all the way again. We just have to wear masks the whole nine, 6 feet, you know, but no, we can't go on test drives with them, which is weird, but, but at the same time, it's getting back to where we're able to get to numbers. So I can anticipate, and I can assure you that your numbers will get back to normal numbers and probably record numbers if you guys keep doing what you're doing. So,
yeah. And listen, you know, right now it's interesting because during the pandemic, the manufacturers had tons of inventory. Everybody shut down taking inventory. And, you know, I did it for the first month, but then I went the opposite way. And they were offering inventory and I was taking it. And everybody said, are you sure? And I said, I think I'm pretty sure. Because when this thing bounces back, I think it's going to bounce back strong. There's a pent-up demand. There's a lot of lease returns. You know, the Northeast is the highest penetration of leases. We're 80% leases. People's leases have expired. They need new cars. They need to go out and get and replace that lease. So right now it's worked in my favor. I have tons of inventory and we're burning through it, and a lot of dealers are short on inventory. So it was a good bet.
It's a smart bet. And I could tell you, you're going to reap your rewards from that for sure. Yeah. And it's going to benefit your clients. It's going to benefit you, all your employees. So that was a great business move. Way to do it.
Way to stay ahead of the game. Forward thinking and understand there is an essentialness to this business, folks. For all intents and purposes, I don't understand how they prioritized in different states, whether car business was essential or not. We right. produce a lot of revenue. So there's a lot of taxes that gets
no doubt.
There's a lot of complementary businesses that are attached to the car business, right?
Yes.
From glass makers to brake makers. There's so much that's attached to this industry that we forget about when you see the one assembled car, right? On the used car lot. You don't understand how much it took to make that get there. Even the process through the new car dealership. It took a lot to get there. And knowing that you're not going to bounce back and sell anybody anything if you don't have it.
Right.
That was great on your part.
Well, so that's, you know, listen, not only do you need the business experience and you need to obviously, and you get that through learning and actually doing it, but you know, you gain wisdom and you have to read the field. It's like playing football. You're a quarterback. You have to read the field. When the ball is hiked and the field starts setting up and the wide receivers are out there, sometimes, you know, the wide receiver can't go in the direction that the play calls for because it just doesn't work. So you got to read the field. You got to see what's out there. If somebody's going to intercept the ball, you know, you don't want to go that way with the pass. You want to go to the right. You don't want to go to the left. So, you know, you got to read the field and get a gut for what's coming down the road. It's not just about what's happening today. It's it's foreseeing the future.
Yeah. Right. And you obviously know this because you've been in it long enough. You've been in business long enough to know that there's these things called valleys and peaks, right? Yeah. You got to reap it while you can in the valleys. And then so you can get back up to those peaks, you know, and when you do, it'll peak even higher next time. So great job, man. Tom, I'm telling you, that's going to be something that you're going to really benefit from. I can't wait to talk to you about that later.
Yes. Yep. So we got one more question on this five liner, folks.
Sure.
And I want to make sure that we